want a shout out on the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, have a question about a player, team, or maybe college prospect, each week we will pick some questions to answer, and you can send those questions to me personally, Steve the Scout, and my email address is stevethescout81@gmail.com.
Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast. The Pro Football Scouting Podcast is available every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm excited to be with you guys today. We are wrapping up training camp, so no more open practices. Training camp is done, and now we just have a couple more weeks of preseason and then the regular season to look forward to. So every Friday going into the season, what I want to talk about is what's going on around the league with different players and different teams, and try to give you guys a unique perspective on things. And that's really going to be just one of four things that makes this show different. And, you know, if you're listening to this show for the first time, there are really four things, or if you've heard me, you've heard every episode, there's really four things that are going to make this show different and unique. Number one is I give you evidence-based player and team evaluations. When I speak on a player or a team, I always do a deep dive into that player or that team, evaluating it as much as possible before I actually give my opinion on it. I find that a lot of times what you're hearing is people copying other people and really just giving surface information. I do my own scouting reports. I try to give you guys a unique perspective on that player. And the second thing I do is I make bold predictions on how I think that player is gonna perform at the next level. I find oftentimes, again, you're hearing people give surface information. They're talking about what a player is capable of, but they don't actually predict how they're going to perform at the next level. The third thing is hard-hitting, unique content. I don't want this to be just another sports podcast you listen to. I want this to be the best damn sports podcast you listen to. So I always strive to give you unique and hard-hitting content that's going to be unique and keep you guys engaged and entertained, and also make you a more knowledgeable fan about the game. And the fourth thing is this, is I want fan engagement. So as I mentioned in the beginning of the show, each Friday I do answer questions from you guys. So if you have questions on a player or a team or something on the show, you know where to send that to, stevethescout81@gmail.com. And really, as this brand grows, that is going to be a big goal of mine, to make sure that we are always doing stuff for fan engagement. So that's definitely going to be an ongoing theme. But today, what I want to do is give you guys a report on training camp, what's gone on this week. But I want to, you know, I'm going through 32 teams, so it's pretty difficult to give a deep dive into 32 teams for each show. So each week I try to focus on something different. And what I want to focus on today is, yes, I want to discuss all 32 teams, but I want to give you guys a player for each and every team in the NFL, not an obvious player, because I'm not going to say that, yes, Drew Brees is having a great training camp. Well, no shit. We expect Drew Brees to have a good training camp. But what I want to do is I want to give you feedback and give you news on a player that is performing well for each and every team. Now, bear in mind, this is the one part of the show where I actually don't personally evaluate these players. So, credit this to a lot of good beat writers and getting good information. And yes, I watch and break down every preseason game, have the luxury to do so. But to know what's going on in every training camp, you know, this is the one part of the show where admittedly it's not completely me scouting and evaluating it. So with that being said, you know, let's go over all 32 teams, go division by division, give you a player for each team that has shined at training camp, and talk a little bit about that player and what they bring to the table. So starting off with the NFC East, you have the Dallas Cowboys looking for a number one receiver. They got Michael Gallup from Colorado State in the third round, and so far he is really looking like he is going to be Dallas's number one receiver from everything, from reports that you're hearing from training camp. I mentioned the other day that he had a great preseason opener. He had a huge touchdown play, although part of it was blown coverage. But, you know, I've seen some clips of him from training camp, so it's not a whole lot of evidence to me to go on. I watched him in college. I think the guy is a capable receiver, and, you know, he wasn't someone that I thought necessarily was going to be a draft steal, but he's someone that I knew that had talent. So Michael Gallup, you know, if the Cowboys can get a number one receiver, you know, that's going to be big for them. I think he's going to be their number one receiver, but truthfully, they don't have a number one receiver on their team. So, you know, he has a unique opportunity to step up, and the Cowboys definitely need help, at that position. Moving on to the New York Giants, you know, middle linebacker B.J. Goodson missed about half of last year due to an injury. When I saw him play last year, because if you guys know, I do mention I am a Giants fan. That's the team that I root for. But he looked really solid. He looked really solid in the games, you know, that I saw last year. And I think this scheme is going to be a better fit for him. So what happened is, before this, the Giants were playing in a 4-3. Now, he's going to be a 3-4 middle linebacker. Now, it's a little bit different when you're playing a 3-4 middle linebacker compared to a 4-3, because as a 3-4 middle linebacker, it's like being a reverse running back. You're looking for gaps to exploit. It's critical that you have good vision, just like running backs. You're going to drop back more in coverage, and you're also going to set the edge more, which essentially means that you're going to cover, you know, outside. You're going to make sure the ball carrier doesn't get outside the tackle. And the reason why they do more of that is that in a 3-4, usually the primary pass rushers are the outside linebackers. So, I think with that being said, and knowing what B.J. Goodson's skill set is, he's going to be a better fit in that scheme. I think it plays more to his strengths. Moving on to so he's having a great training camp, point being there. Moving on to the Washington Redskins. You know, the Redskins, I'm just going to talk about their defensive line. They have Jim Tomsula. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, but he was the defensive line coach for the San Francisco 49ers during that period between, you know, 2011, 2014, when they were, you know, a really good, really good team and had a great defensive line. So he's had success, you know, in most coaching opportunities that he's had in the NFL. But, you know, the big thing from Washington is, you know, you're hearing from Jim Tomsula that their run defense, especially on that defensive line, which is where he coaches, is looking very good. And a player that people don't really talk about for the Washington Redskins is Mason Foster, because Mason Foster, I believe, is a very underrated middle linebacker. I hear he's having a great training camp, and that's definitely going to allow that defensive line to do what they do and be more successful. So finishing off on the NFC East is the Philadelphia Eagles. I said going into this year's NFL draft, Dallas Goedert was going to be one of the biggest draft steals. And he has been arguably the star of the entire Eagles training camp. And I'm not just talking about, you know, tight ends or rookies. I'm talking about almost every player. He's having an amazing training camp. What Dallas brings to the table is he's strong at the point of attack. He's a natural blocker. He can box guys out. He's got strong hands. So he's gonna be a guy that I've seen a lot of him in the red zone. You know, he didn't always go against top competition, but understanding what today's NFL tight ends do and bring to the table, and looking at Dallas Goedert, hurt. You know, he has all the attributes you want. Going against lower level competition or not, I thought this guy was going to be a big draft steal. He's having a great training camp for the Philadelphia Eagles. So that wraps up things in the NFC East. Looking at the NFC North. Starting with the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings got Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray is their second string running back. From what I'm hearing, he looks lighter and smoother than he has in years past. Considering they're now going to have a healthy Dalvin Cook, that could be huge things for the Vikings running game. So really, really glad to see that. For them. I mean, and I'll tell you this. You know, usually, I have a soft spot for teams that have never won Super Bowls. Except, you know, I didn't have a soft spot for the Eagles because I was a Giants fan, but typically I always, if a team has never won a Super Bowl and my team is out of it, I'll root for them. And so yeah, I'm glad to see the Vikings are doing well. I'll root for them, just not when they're playing the Giants. So, but yeah, it's good that they have you know a good secondary running back there. It's going to help them out a lot. And looking at the Green Bay Packers, the main thing that they try to fix in this year's NFL draft was fixing their secondary. That was no question the weakest part of their defense was at cornerback. So what do? They spent the first and second round draft picks on cornerbacks. Jaire Alexander is the real deal. I'm telling you, Jaire Alexander has a good chance of being NFL Rookie of the Year. Hear me again. Jaire Alexander, the cornerback from Green Bay, good chance he's going to be NFL Rookie of the Year. You heard that here. When you look at the other cornerback they got in the second round, Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson is having a great training camp. Jaire Alexander has been hurt, but what the point is here is that they're getting something great out of their second round cornerback. The one they drafted in the first round has been a stud when he's been healthy. Practicing. So it's looking pretty good, you know, in terms of Green Bay being able to turn around that aspect of their defense. And considering that this is a passing league, it's really tough to win without good cornerbacks. And moving on to the Detroit Lions, is they are getting great production and great practices from their rookie running back, Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson is a guy that I also thought was going to be a good draft steal. I was concerned, and this is actually a widely common concern, is how well his body is going to hold up, because for a guy of his stature and a guy that is not the strongest guy, I mean, I've seen him lift weights. Because of the combine, I think he benched 225, you know, eight times or something like that, which is, you know, really low for a running back. Not to say the bench press is everything, but he just does not look like a guy whose frame could hold up very well to a lot of punishment. So I do have a concern of how long he can continue this for, but he is having a great training camp. When I went back and watched his preseason tape, he showed a lot of patience. And that's something that, I wanted to see more of from him, because I didn't really see that so much in college, because, you know, going against lower level competition, you don't need to, you know, demonstrate the same kind of patience that you do in the NFL. He's been absolutely great in the passing game. That's something I expected. Saw him on a number of screenplays, looking really good. The Lions, if they can have Matthew Stafford, can finally have a running attack. They got LeGarrette Blount too. That'll be helpful. And you know, from everything I'm hearing, the MVP of the Bears training camp on the defensive side of the ball has been Akeem Hicks. He was a guy that came into the league about 5-6 years ago, but really the last 2 years he's been trending upward in terms of how many pressures he's had against the quarterback. He's racked up, I think, 2 years ago, 7.5 sacks. This last year, 8.5 sacks. So look, sometimes for defensive ends, it takes them a while to figure it out. If you guys remember, a player by the name of Jason Babin made the NFL top 100 list a few times, but it took the guy about 8 years, and he was a journeyman for a long time. But, you know, for a few years, he was playing really good. So sometimes, look, defensive ends, I've seen it where it takes some guys a while to get good. So that concludes everything for the NFC North. Moving on to the NFC South. The Panthers are getting a great training camp from their rookie cornerback, Dante Jackson. Ron Rivera, the coach of the Panthers, says, I quote, "This is the most comfortable I've been with my secondary in 2 years, and it's because and it's due to the arrival of Dante Jackson." So that is a good thing if you're a Panthers fan. And look, today's show is all positive. So and I think it's probably good at some point to do another show on Draft Bus, because part of the thing about scouting is, yes, you want to point out the good, but you definitely want to point out the bad. Actually, one of the questions I have in this show, which I'll get to in a bit, was someone had asked me, who do I think in this year's NFL draft will be a bust? So I will get to that in a bit. The Panthers are getting a great training camp from their rookie cornerback, Dante Jackson. Now, speaking of cornerbacks, their division rival, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are also getting a great training camp from cornerback Brent Grimes, a guy that from all of training camp I've been hearing has been excelling in tight coverages. He's showing the same speed that he's shown in years past, and I saw a few clips of him making some insane plays. The play of his career, and maybe some of you remember this, is you got to realize, I think Brent Grimes is, 5'6", 5'7", I don't know his exact height, but Calvin Johnson, 6'5 and a half, there was a deep ball that was thrown to Calvin Johnson. Brent Grimes leaped over Calvin Johnson's head and snagged that ball out of the air. And, that is, if you're going to ask me, think of one Brent Grimes played, that is it. And to me, that might have been one of the coolest interceptions I've ever seen. But the point is that, the guy's an ageless wonder. There are some guys that they just age well. I feel like I'm seeing it more and more in recent years, that you're seeing players still being productive at a later age. So definitely good to see that the Buccaneers, can get some help there in the secondary from Brent Grimes. They definitely need it. The Saints, their division rival, they're getting a great training camp from rookie wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith. He was drafted in the third round. When I evaluated Tre'Quan Smith coming out of college, I noticed that he was really good at tracking the ball, especially on a lot of deep balls. And he has great early acceleration in his routes. What that's going to allow Drew Brees to do is get quick throwing windows where he can get the ball out quickly to him. So good, it's... They had Michael Thomas, who had a great rookie year. I mean, the Saints have been drafting really well, the last few years. So they'll have another target to throw to. Drew Brees will continue to be good probably until he retires. So that is the Saints offense for you. And the Atlanta Falcons, they are having a great training camp from Austin Hooper, a guy that Matt Ryan said was in his back pocket all of last offseason. So, they really haven't had a tight end since Tony Gonzalez left. So the fact that he's developing, definitely good for Falcons fans. So that almost wraps up everything with the NFC. Going to move on to the NFC West. Then I will go over one question, then I'll go over the AFC, and then I'll answer the other few questions that we have here. So the NFC West, who's having a good training camp for the 49ers? Well, it's really the receivers. Marquise Goodwin has emerged as Jimmy Garoppolo's number one target. However, I've been saying it all along, Dante Pettis should have been a first round draft pick. Dante Pettis, is a guy that, rookie wide receiver, who coming into the draft could run the full route tree, has proven that he can get consistent separation, and I've seen him do it against better competition. Not only that, he's probably one of the best, if not the best, kick and punt returner in college football last year. So, I mean, you want to talk about a complete player. To me, he really should have been an end of the first round pick, and no surprise, he is having a great training camp as well. The Rams are getting a great training camp from John Kelly. John Kelly was their sixth round running back. Of course, another guy that I said was going to be a draft steal. So, looking at John Kelly, I said he reminds me a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw. Runs tough, he's compact, powerful, and runs a lot bigger than his size suggests. In John Kelly's preseason, the Rams' preseason game, he had 13 rushes for 77 yards, and he's impressing Sean McVay, the coach of the Los Angeles Rams, according to him. And looking at the Arizona Cardinals, you know, they have had, you know, their defenses, from what I've heard, their defenses looked very good in training camp. But one thing that I'm hearing is that Josh Rosen's ability to understand the playbook and understand concepts, according to Larry Fitzgerald, is pretty good. So Larry Fitzgerald said, I quote, I said, "Coach, this is a really, really smart one. We're lucky we got him, and he's smart, but he's not arrogant." So that's pretty high praise from Larry Fitzgerald. So that is a good thing to hear if you are a Cardinals fan. I think Sam Bradford's going to be their starter, but definitely good news to hear. And the Seahawks it's interesting what the Seahawks are able to do with Pete Carroll as coach, because reports coming out of their training camp is that you have a lot of players that are stepping in at safety and cornerback and linebacker that are flying all over the field. And, you know, that's part of what Pete Carroll's philosophy is that he wants players to play with a lot of excitement and fly to the ball. And when you look at what the Seahawks drafted, they drafted Shaquem Griffin, whose brother Shaquille Griffin also plays on the defense now. If you guys weren't familiar with the or didn't watch too much of the combine, Shaquem Griffin is an outside linebacker who ran a 4.3840. He benched 225 20 times, and he has one hand. What's even more impressive is the fact that, you know, he wasn't that big. He didn't look, you know, especially lean to me, but he was super strong, super powerful, and he absolutely killed it in all the drills. And reports are coming from training camp, coming from Bobby Wagner, arguably the best player on that team. Maybe Russell Wilson will give him competition for that, but definitely their best defensive player. I would even say more so than Earl Thomas at this point. Bobby Wagner is probably the best middle linebacker in the game. And what Bobby Wagner said is, I quote, as I said, he's making sacks, he's flying all over the field, he's making interceptions, and he is the guy that is standing out for us. So it's a great story. You know, if you guys have not heard about the Shaquem Griffin story, it's really amazing the adversity that this young man has. So really glad to see that. And people might wonder, you know, can a guy with one hand really, really excel in the NFL, you know? And I think some people might think back to the Jason Pierre-Paul example, because, you know, his play dropped off a little bit after that. But you got to remember, this guy pretty much never had a hand his whole life. So he's always been trained on how to not use it. But just incredible that a guy could bench 225 that many times. So that wraps up everything with the NFC. So we're gonna get to a question now. I'll roll through the AFC, and then I'll answer the two other questions that I have here. So the first question actually comes from Brad Nordstrom, and what Brad had asked me is he said which of these three quarterbacks do I think has the best chance to start week one? Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen. I would say at this point it's gonna be Sam Darnold. If you're hearing reports from Browns camp, it's that Tyrod Taylor is gonna be the week one starter, and even that Baker Mayfield may be third on the depth chart. Interestingly, I do have another question that is asking me. Someone is asking me why Baker Mayfield is third on the depth chart. So I'll get to that one in a bit. But looking at the Jets quarterback situation, I think personally, you know, the Jets week one starter, all things considered, really should be Teddy Bridgewater if they want to win games. They may trade him, but look, Darnold is getting most of the first team reps right now. And so I got to say he's probably going to be at this point the most likely one to start. I just don't know how successful really, and I hate to, you know, look, I'm from New York, New Jersey, but I got to say, I think the Jets have the worst roster in the NFL. So I just, you know, I hate to say it. I just don't know how anyone can be successful with what they have there. You know, look, I think there are some players that can surprise me, but just being blunt, Their roster is not very good, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, I would say Darnold is going to be most likely to get that week one start. And actually, I'll answer the other question now on Baker Mayfield, and then I'll come back to the AFC. So the other question I had, and it comes from Michael Nathers, and Michael had asked me, why do I think Baker Mayfield is going to be third on the depth chart? So look, I can't say that Hard Knocks tells you everything there is to know about a football team and what's going on in training camp, but from reports that I'm reading, and I would guess from watching the show so far, it just seems to me the impression that I'm getting, and again, this is based on my limited perspective, is that Tyrod Taylor has a better command of the offense. From everything that I'm guessing or insinuating, it seems that he has a better command of the offense, and the players are gravitating towards him. And look, they brought him in to be the starter. And I think, if I had a guess, they really want Baker Mayfield to learn how to be a professional. And I think that Baker Mayfield can definitely learn how to be a professional from Tyrod Taylor. And you got to realize too, Tyrod has had a great training camp, and he looked also, although Baker looked great in the preseason game, so did Tyrod Taylor. So I think Tyrod's going to be the starting quarterback. I don't necessarily disagree with it, just because as much as I do say Baker Mayfield, I believe, is the best quarterback in the draft, you gotta start the guy that, number one, has veteran experience, has better command and understanding of the offense. Again, these are all things that I'm guessing, but based on my impressions, that's why I think that Baker Mayfield is not going to be the starting quarterback going into the season. So why is he, why is he third string? Because really, it goes back to an understanding of the offense. And if Baker Mayfield is the backup quarterback, there's not much he can do to help Tyrod Taylor prepare for the game. However, Drew Stanton has a better understanding of the offense, and if you want someone that is going to better help your starting quarterback prepare, he's better suited to do that than Baker Mayfield. So that's a good reason why I think he's probably going to be not second but third on the depth chart, and probably the strategy behind it. So with that being said, I'm going to move on to the AFC East. And the AFC East, we're going to start off with the New England Patriots. Cordell Patterson, I thought was going to be a sure thing. He looked great his rookie year, had about 1,300 yards receiving, fell off because of inconsistent, a lot of it was him, but also inconsistent quarterback play in Minnesota. And it looks like the Patriots have their number one wide receiver. Lo and behold, he goes to New England and he's number one wide receiver, but if you look at Cordell Patterson play, it's hard to really imagine why. It's hard to think that this guy wasn't a 1,000-yard receiver each of the last few years. If you just go back and just look at some of his training camp, and I looked at him a lot coming out of college, and I just was really surprised that he dropped off a bit. But look, it happens, and I think that the Patriots really do have a true number one receiver. He's having a great training camp. Coming from the New York Jets, from everything I'm hearing, Sam Darnold, one thing to talk about with the Jets is that Sam Darnold is taking most of the first team reps, as I alluded to before. So that probably does spell that the Jets are having some faith in him as a quarterback. I think in tonight's game against Washington, I was watching a little bit of it, he threw an interception, and I think you're going to see a lot of that. When I went back and watched his USC tape from last year, and I evaluated all of his interceptions, most of them were balls that shouldn't have been thrown, meaning they weren't incidental interceptions. They were almost, for the most part, bad decisions, throwing into double coverage. So look, he's going to have to clean some of that up. But obviously, the Jets are putting their faith in him. And let me just say this, between Rosen, Darnold, and Mayfield, he has the most upside of any of those three. I always say it that he reminds me really in terms of a combination of Andrew Luck and Tony Romo. Andrew Luck with his big body and his arm, and Tony Romo just with his escapability. So Sam Darnold, his ability to throw on the run. Baker Mayfield, a special throwing on the run, but I think Sam Darnold is even more special. So, look, I think the Jets have their franchise quarterback. They just got to make sure they build around him, because there's no quicker way to ruin a quarterback's career than to have no offensive line, no receivers, and no running game. So the Jets have to do something with that roster. And the Dolphins are getting a great training camp from another guy that I said was a draft steal, Mike Gesicki, the tight end out of Penn State. As I alluded to on an earlier episode, people always say that he can't block. I think, and I was more of the line of thought that he hasn't really been asked to block as much as you know you would see a lot of tight ends do at the college level. But when I from everything I'm hearing so far, is he's become an improved blocker in training camp. He's made some key blocks. He's emerged as the Dolphins' number one receiving threat. He is the best downfield tight end threat in the draft, bar none. They got some good tight ends coming out this year. Like I said, I believe Dallas Goedert, he's having a great training camp. I think he got some sleepers like Dalton Schultz. So definitely a year of the tight end, and the Dolphins look like they're going to have probably a good rookie campaign from Mike Gesicki. And the Buffalo Bills, they're having a good training camp from a guy that I actually put as my 45th best player coming out of the draft, Harrison Phillips. Harrison Phillips, is to me very much a copy of Kyle Williams, the defensive tackle on their team, who's been with the team for quite some time. At one point in his career, he was looked at as one of the best defensive tackles in the game. They also got Star Lutulele there, and although Star right now is the starting defensive tackle, they're getting great play from Harrison Phillips, their rookie, and they can have a three-man rotation at defensive tackle between those guys. So definitely, you know, if you're a Bills fan, it's good to hear that they'll have a good, strong rotation of players that they can plug in at the interior part of the defensive line. So moving on past that, and going to the AFC North, the Cincinnati Bengals, starting off with them, they're getting AJ Green's getting help. Tyler Boyd is emerging as a true slot receiver from everything I'm hearing, and John Ross, the speedster, also having a good training camp. So good to hear that the Bengals are getting production out of more receivers, not just, you know, AJ Green and Tyler Eifert. So really could be a good year for that receiving group. And the Steelers are also getting the Steelers drafted a tackle in the third round named Chukwuan Okafor, and he has actually replaced their left tackle, Andrew Villanueva, or hopefully I'm saying that right, because Andrew had an injury. He stepped in, and from everything I'm hearing, he's been pretty solid. Marcus Gilbert, who is the starting right tackle of the Steelers, one of the best starting right tackles in the NFL, has given him high praise. So good thing to hear if you're a Steelers fan. If you can have a guy that you can plug in at the tackle position that you get in the third round, and he's doing some good stuff year one, definitely a positive there. And the Browns, they are getting a great training camp from Antonio Callaway, a guy who is a polished route runner, has a world of potential, trains with Antonio Brown, and to me, actually, runs his routes in a somewhat of a similar fashion. If you look at, I'm not going to say he's Antonio Brown, but his style, it's a little bit similar when I do look at them both. So looking at Antonio Callaway, he was actually cited for a marijuana possession. Didn't tell the Cleveland Browns, so they ended up, as a punishment for him, making him play the entire preseason game. And he looks sensational. And everything you're hearing, he's been solid in training camp. Another reason why I think the Browns are going to have one of the best, not only one of the best backfields in the NFL, but also one of the best receiving groups in the NFL. And to be honest, you know, if I was making a prediction right now, this is a bold prediction I'm going to make on the show, I think the Cleveland Browns are winning that division. You heard that here. I think the Browns have a better squad right now than the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we'll see what happens with that. Moving on to the Baltimore Ravens, finishing up the AFC North. John Brown, who's the wide receiver who came from the Arizona Cardinals, is emerging as the Ravens' number one receiver. John Brown is a small speedster. He's a guy that has tremendous short area quickness, great balance, and he's just a burner. Really was the Cardinals' number two receiver last year. He's shown, from everything I'm hearing, he's shown to be having a great training camp with Baltimore and has been, from everything I'm hearing, their best player on offense in training camp. So moving on to the AFC South, starting off with the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans drafted Harold Landry from Boston College in the second round, someone that absolutely should have gone in the first round. The reason being is Landry has one of, in terms of pass rushers in the draft, maybe the fastest first step, great closing speed, a variety of pass rush moves, and he's got great length. So not surprised to hear that the Titans are getting a great training camp from him. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they have had some scuffles in their training camp. Yannick Ngakoue and Dante Fowler gotten into a big fight the other day. I know Fowler and Ramsey have been suspended for a week. But when you look at Yannick Ngakoue, he's a guy that he was drafted in the third round. People didn't think much of him or know much of him coming out. But when I saw him on tape coming out of college, there was just, to me, too much explosion. Yes, he doesn't have the ideal height and length and all that. But to me, when you look at it, you go back and watch him in college, look at his initial explosion. I went back and watched more of his tape last year playing with Jacksonville. Yannick Ngakoue is going to be one of the best pass rushers in the NFL this year. So I am predicting that. Look, there is this guy is an absolute, I believe, superstar in the making. And the Jaguars are probably going to have, in my opinion, one of the very best defenses in the NFL this year. So they're loaded there, and he's just another pass rusher that they have on top of guys like Telvin Smith, Calais Campbell, Miles Jack, Dante Fowler. They got great depth at the defensive tackle spot. So expecting big things from the Jaguars. The Houston Texans. Now, I said this before. I said that Eric Reed, the safety for the San Francisco, played for the San Francisco 49ers. He was a Pro Bowl player. Now his younger brother Justin Reed went to Stanford, and he is the better player, I believe, when I look at the tape, because I've watched tape of both Reed brothers at college, and I think the younger brother is actually better. He can help you in the run game. He has the ability to play man coverage. He's a ball hawk, and he has pro-ready skills. Not surprised to hear that he is having a great training camp, considering they got Tyrann Mathieu there as well. Expecting big things from the Texans at the safety position. And the Colts drafted a mid-round tackle named Braden Smith, who has stepped in a training camp, and I've heard played exceptionally well. Considering they drafted Quentin Nelson, and that Andrew Luck's problem largely there's been no one there to protect him. Having two good rookies come in for the Colts and be able to protect Andrew Luck, that's definitely good stuff right there. So finishing things off with the AFC West, starting off with the Chargers, one of the weaknesses that the Chargers had last year was that they had a great pass rush, but they couldn't do jack to stop the run. They got two players in the draft, first and second round. In the first round, and it's fine. Actually, I'm forgetting his name right now. But in the second, Derwin James. So in the first round, they got Derwin James, the guy who I had voted the best defensive player in the draft. It'd be helpful if I can remember his name. but it's been a long day. And in the second round, they got Uchenna Nwosu from USC, a guy that's a versatile linebacker that'll fly all over the field, has a ridiculous motor, and a high-energy guy that I thought could come in and help their run defense right away. He has had a great training camp as well. Considering what Derwin James brings to the table, I think the Chargers got two players first and second round that are going to help with that run defense. And coming out of Raiders training camp, Bruce Irvin is having his best training camp ever. Bruce Irvin previously was one of the pass rushers for the Seattle Seahawks, signed with the Raiders a couple years ago. Khalil Mack's been out, and I'm hearing Bruce Irvin is having his best training camp ever, so that is good to hear. Moving on to the Denver Broncos, Bradley Roby is entering, I believe, his fifth year now in the NFL. He's been a guy that has played well, but from everything I'm hearing, he's having his best training camp. He's been playing pretty much most of training camp, covering Emmanuel Sanders, and from what I'm hearing, he's winning most of those battles. So definitely good to hear, because they lost Aqib Talib, so they have to have someone else step in besides Chris Harris. They need a guy on the outside. Hopefully, Bradley Roby can be that. Finishing things off with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, number 56 for the last 13 seasons was Derek Johnson, their middle linebacker, a guy that's really one level below being a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. A first round pick that definitely panned out and had a great NFL career. But the Chiefs are getting great production out of their new number 56. I guess they didn't retire the jersey, but they gave that number to a middle linebacker named Ben Neiman. Ben Neiman was the star of their game defensively versus the Houston Texans. He was flying all over the field, had a lot of tackles, and has shown in training camp that he can do that. But also he's been really helpful for the Chiefs in terms of pass coverage. So that wraps things up. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of information on every single team in the NFL. Primarily trying to focus on one, maybe two players. Wanted to make sure I covered every team and did it as quickly as I could, but also made sure that the information was valid there. So the last question I have is from Dante Penny, and what Dante had asked me is, do I think? He asked me. Let me go back a second. Dante had asked me, do I think that there are any potential draft busts in this year's draft in the first round outside of Josh Allen? Because I guess people have heard me say for a long time, I don't think this guy should be a first round pick. I think he's going to be a bust. One guy that I think is going to be labeled as a bust, and although he's going to be labeled as a bust, he could turn into a huge star by year three. And that is Marcus Davenport, the pass rusher that the New Orleans Saints, they traded up to get him. When you look at Marcus Davenport in terms of raw ability, might have the most raw, almost, you know, he's in the conversation to have some of the best raw natural ability of any pass rusher in the draft. However, he's very raw and he's very unpolished. And yes, he killed it against lower level competition, but I watched a number of Senior Bowl practices, and he got his ass owned a number of times there. So because of that, I think you know, he's going to be a guy that it's going to take him probably a few years. He might be looked at as a draft bust initially, but I think he's a guy that if he really takes the time, if he really puts in the work to develop, he can be something very, very special. So that wraps up everything for today. I'll be back with you guys on Monday. You guys have a great weekend. Training camp is wrapped up. We are just a few weeks away from the regular season beginning. This is Steve, the Scout, the voice of the Pro Football Scouting Podcast, signing off.